whenever it comes to money and finances, people tend to get a little squeamish. They tend to talk about, you know, mind your own business, you know, why do you do that? Well, here's one of the reasons that we actually make it a focus here at Friendship. We talk about the fact that we want to help people become spiritually deeper, financially stable, and relationally satisfied. Those are the three areas that the Bible most often addresses in the life of a person. And then, of course, you know, as we understand God connecting those things together. But Jesus Christ in the New Testament, when he spoke, because a lot of people, oh, that's all Old Testament. Well, Jesus Christ, when he spoke, talked more about money and earning money and spending money wisely and giving and handling money and how God wants you to handle it and all those different things. He talked more about money than he talked about heaven and hell combined. And the reason is because finances and the way that we handle our finances has a direct effect on almost every other area of our life. The one of the top two reasons that divorce happens is money or money problems. One of the biggest problems that we see in our culture today is debt. We hear it all the time, right, in the news and our world and what our United States and what the debt is. And you look at credit card debt, you look at consumer debt, you look at the fear and the worry that people have when things change or things don't go the way that they're supposed to do with the economy, and people freak out because money has such a significant impact on our lives. And so if we don't handle money in a way that honors God, we don't handle money in the way that God intended, you're like, well, why should we listen to God? Well, God created the whole idea of wealth and everything that comes from wealth, every idea that's created in man, every gem or every metal that's found or everything that's found within the earth that creates or generates wealth, that's all created by God. So when we talk about particular areas, we really should ask the question, who created it and what was the intended purpose of it? And that's exactly what God did. God created wealth and finances and all these things for a particular purpose and to be used in a particular way. And so God talks about that throughout the Bible and how we're supposed to do that. And during this series, we've been trying to really focus on what it means and how God has talked about those things. And so as we talk about this area of being generous, I want to begin with Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Luke chapter 6, verse 38, and this is something that Jesus, he kind of peels back the window of how God sees things. He says, I want you guys to see something when it comes to this idea of generosity, when it comes to this idea of how you handle money. It has a significant impact on you and the rest of your life. And Jesus says this in Luke chapter 6, verse 38, give and it will be given to you. Now, that's kind of oxymoronic, right? That doesn't make sense to us. It's like, hang on a second, if you give, it's gone. Right? If you give it away, it goes away and never comes back, and you should sing a love song about how your heart hurts that it's gone. I mean, that's the way we think about that, but Jesus says that's not the way it works. If you give, and then he's going to talk about later the way that we give, if you give in the right way, what happens is it actually will be given to you. As you give to others, God says, I will give then to you. Then watch what he says. He says, a good measure. And he goes, well, listen, we're going to measure it, okay? We're literally going to take it. We're going to see what you are giving to others. We're going to see what you're giving back to God. We're going to see how you're giving. And as you have given, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. So Jesus says, listen, here's how it works. You give, and I'm going to give back to you. And we're going to measure how you give, and then we're going to take that, and we're going to add more to it. We're going to take it, we're going to press it down, we're going to tamp it down, we're going to shake it together, we're going to put as much as we can in there. It's kind of like, you know, when Menards does that brown bag special, and you see people going through, and they're trying to, like, cut it and wrap it around stuff and tape it, because that's Jesus. Listen, I'm going to measure it out, but I'm going to fill it up as much as I possibly can, giving it back to you, and I'm going to put it in your lap, and then I'm going to pour more, because I want to overgive what you have already given to me. So listen, Jesus says, listen, as you give, I will give, but I will give more than you gave in the first place. Now, again, we've got to be really careful, and I want to categorize this every single time before we talk about this. It does not mean, and I'm never going to say, well, if you give $10 to God, you can guarantee $100 is going to show up someplace this next month. I just promise you that. And it doesn't work that way. Because the way that God gives is beyond just the financial realm, of which we should be very thankful, because quite frankly, we see a lot of wealthy people that have miserable lives. And God has called us to live a life of joy and fulfillment. And so God's giving is not just restricted to financial. God wants to give in every area of our life and bless us in every area of our life. And so that's how Jesus says, listen, I'm going to give beyond that. But then notice this. He says, for with the measure you use, it will be what? Measured to you. So, I want to just say this as clearly, as simply as possible, and then we're going to get the big idea. You have the direct ability to determine how much of God's blessing in your life you want. It is directly measured with how you are and what type of giver you are. The big idea, I put it this way. The measure of our giving determines the measure of our blessing. The measure of our giving determines the measure of our blessing. I didn't say that. I didn't come up with it. Jesus said it. Jesus literally says at the end of Luke chapter 6, verse 38, "For the measure in which you give will be the measure in which you receive." Now, again, we want to be very careful because we want to talk about this idea of measurement. We're going to share what it means when God says, "I measure it a certain way." God measures it differently. So again, we can't attach an amount to it. We can't go, okay, I'm going to give X dollar amount, therefore I should get X amount of whatever in return. That's not the way it works. God is looking at other things. God is measuring your giving in different ways. God is trying to help us understand that how we give matters more than what we give. The attitude in which we give matters more than the amount in which we give. And so Jesus talks about this. He says, listen, this is so important because you are literally either unleashing or limiting God's blessing in your life based upon the type of giver you are. So let's look at what it means when God says, "I measure giving in a different way." How does God measure giving? God measures giving in four ways. The first way that God measures giving is this. He says he wants us to give cheerfully. He wants us to give cheerfully. There should be joy in our heart. We should be excited. You're like, well, why should I be excited to give away something? It's because we're giving back. We're not giving away. We're giving back. And so we go, man, God, thank you so much for all that you've given to me. And so we give back so that God can continue to bless others with that as well. God doesn't need our money. God is not asking you to do this so that he can have what he needs. The Bible says that he owns it all. He owns the treasure in every storehouse. He owns the cattle on every hill. He owns the hill that's on it, the rock beneath it, the world that surrounds it. He owns it all. He doesn't need us. God is not asking us to do this because he needs something from us. God is asking us to do this because he wants something for us. He wants us to experience his blessing in our lives. Look at this. So 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 7. He says, remember this. The farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, duh. But the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. Yep. You must each decide in your heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. Why? For God loves a person who gives cheerfully. Now, why is this so important? Why does God go, you know what? The first way that I measure is the emotion in which you give it. Like, why does that matter? Here's why. Notice he says, don't give out of guilt, right? That's basically what he's saying. Don't give out reluctantly. In other words, oh, I've got to give. Because now you're giving for what purpose? To alleviate your guilt. Well, I'm going to give now because I'm alleviating my guilt. So again, reason. It's the wrong reason. So God says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to do it cheerfully or joyfully. I remember my dad, I think I've shared this with you before. My dad swapped pulpits one time with a guy with the inner city church. And they got up and he was getting ready to preach. And they took the offering before the message. And the guy gets up. He says, okay, we're going to take the offering this morning. And like everyone started cheering like, woohoo, yeah. And he's like, what is going on? And he asked the guy, Robert was his name. He says, Robert, what's going on? He goes, man, I've taught my people that when we talk about giving our offering back, we should have a joyful and cheerful heart because God loves a cheerful giver. So we celebrate every time that we get to take our offering. I'm like, cool. That's awesome. Now, honestly, it's like you don't have to cheer out loud. You don't have to dress up and, paint your belly blue that says offering or anything like that. It's just There's just supposed to be a cheerfulness, a joy. There's an excitement that God has blessed you in a way that now you can give back. There's like, yeah, this is, I'm so thankful. I tell you, it's an amazing, you know, every year, Tracy and I first started tithing before we were married, and we have done that, and every year we continually look at it, and if there's an increase somewhere, we increase it, and we just continue to do that, and it's an amazing thing that when I sit down and I look, and I'm like, oh my goodness, I can't believe that we have been able over the 24 years, almost 24 years of our marriage, to be able to give that much back to God. That's insane to me. That is an exciting thing to look at and realize that God has blessed us so much that we've been able to continue to do that. There's a joy in it. There's an excitement in it. And so God says, be a cheerful giver. Now listen, here's the other reason it's important to be a cheerful giver, because sometimes you may go, man, I wish I could give more. You're focusing on amount. You're focusing on amount. The key is give cheerfully. In fact, quite frankly, if you're at a point you're like, I've never given before, the first thing I would say to you is just determine an amount in your heart with your spouse if you're married and say, what can we give cheerfully? And start there. Just start there. Because that's the first way that God measures. The second way that God measures is this way. If you give regularly, regularly. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 2 says this, on the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with your income, saving it up so that when I come, no collections will have to be made. Now he says, listen, I know y'all are taking offerings, so here's what I want you to do. Instead of taking it each and every week, I want you, every time you get paid, because that's what he's talking about, the first of the week, every time you get paid, determine how much you're going to set it aside, and so that when we come and we're able to collect the offering, if you will, that it's already set aside. And so the idea is that we're regularly doing that. So my challenge to you is if you want to give according to the way that God measures giving, then you set in your heart, again, cheerfully, what can we give? And then each and every time when God blesses you with a paycheck, that you then go, okay, this amount out of that, we're going to give back to God regularly. Some of you, for us on staff here at Friendship, we get paid once a month, so it's once a month. Some of you get paid biweekly, every other week. Some of you get paid every week. Some of you get paid, you know, under the table with money. We'll talk about that later. But the bottom line is, listen, when you get blessed by God financially because he's given you the ability to work, then you turn around and you give back to God a proportion of what you have decided in your heart that you and your spouse can give cheerfully back to God. And God says, so that's measurement number two. Measurement number one is cheerfully. Are you excited about it? You're like, man, this gives me joy to be able to do it. I remember several years ago, I can't remember the person's name. I know that they're not here anymore. They've moved out of state, but they came up to me and they said, hey, for the first time ever, we were able to give this morning. And there was such joy and excitement because they'd worked through so much debt and so much issues and so many things that they're frustrated with, and their marriage got better and all these different things. And they're so excited that finally they were able to give an amount that made them cheerful. And it was not like they decreased it. It was that they were able to increase it, and it gave them more joy. And they gave according to how God had blessed them. So cheerful, and then also regularly, consistently. So maybe if you're like, man, we've been giving cheerfully, we've set that amount, but you're like, you know what, we've not been giving regularly, then schedule it regularly, you know, whatever it takes, however you need to do that. So God says, I measure it cheerfully, how you give cheerfully. He says, give regularly. And then the third thing, he says this, he says, give proportionally, give proportionally. So if we were to talk about this as a staircase, the first step you need to take in becoming a generous giver is to first determine how much that you can give cheerfully. How much you can give with a smile on your face and a joy in your heart. You go, okay, that's step number one. Then step number two is, okay, now I want to do that now regularly. I want to do it every time a paycheck comes in. I want to do that regularly. So you've got step two. And then step three, and this is a big one for a lot of people, it's proportionally. In other words, you pick a number, you know, 0.5%, 10%, to 20, whatever you want to do. You pick a number, and it becomes a proportion. So whatever your check or your income comes into, you go, okay, this amount, this proportion of that, I'm going to give. And here's why you do that, because obviously your income is going to grow over the years. And so you go, okay, you know what? Whatever comes in at this point in time, that's what I'm going to give. I'm going to give proportionally. And the Bible talks about it really clearly. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 11 through 12 says this: "Now, you should finish what you started. Let the eagerness you showed in the beginning, the cheerfulness of your heart, the joy in being able to give, now be matched by your giving." Give in what? Proportion. Give in proportion to what you have. Whether you whatever you give is acceptable if you give it, and it comes back to eagerly, excitedly, cheerfully, right? Whatever you give, he's like, listen, I'm not gonna throw a number out for you. I want you to focus on starting to be proportional givers. Pick whatever it is and begin to do it with a cheerful and a joyful heart, and give according to what you have, not what you don't have. Now that's really important. Because sometimes one of the biggest obstacles to getting to moving from cheerful and regular to proportional is you begin to say, well, yeah, but we can't do that because we don't have X. And we set up all these things that we expect to have before we can do this. Let's go back to our big idea. The measure in which you give is the measure in which you receive. Believe it or not, when you get to the point where you can begin to give proportionally to God, when you can give back to God in proportion to how he has blessed you, then God actually continues to bless you even more. Now, I know you've probably heard a lot about, if you've ever been in church before, this thing called a tithe, this 10%. You're like, where does that come from? And some of you are like, oh my goodness, 10%, that's crazy. Well, let me just take a deep breath, okay? Don't tune me out. Don't freak out. Don't start sending angry text messages or Facebook posts. Just listen to kind of where it all began. It began way back in the book of Genesis, before the Ten Commandments ever started. And God said to those that were following, he says, I want you to give the first fruits of your labor. Now, they literally, it was fruit. It was like vegetables and fruit at that point in time. He said, I want you to give the first fruits. I want you to give the first and the best. So whenever you take your harvest, that top percentage, whatever that is, I want you to give that to me first, because you recognize God's presence. You recognize God's provision. You recognize God's protection first. Before anything else, you do that. Then as we continue to walk through the Old Testament and the people of Israel show up, and he says, now I want to put a specific amount on this that I want you to be moving towards, so that you can get to the point where you are giving in a fashion that I go, yes, that is where I'm looking to. And he called it a tithe, or a tenth of all that you make. Now let me just do, how many of you are math whizzes in here this morning? All right, awesome, cool. We're going to put you to the test. Okay, here we go. What is 10% of 100? That's it. Wow, you guys are so brilliant. What is 10% of 1,000? And so you're like, I don't know. I missed that one. So he goes, why did God pick 10%? I think he picked 10% because he know most of us are math idiots. I think, honestly, that's what it is. But for whatever reason, that's what he chose. And so look at this. Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. I think it's a really powerful verse. He says, I am the Lord all-powerful, and I challenge you to put me to the test. God said, listen, I literally challenge you to test me in this. Bring the entire 10% into the storehouse so that there will be food in my house. Then I will open the windows of heaven and flood you with blessing after blessing. I will also stop locusts. We're not so worried about locusts, but maybe like, you know, the little, what are those little ladybug type things that stink forever? I will stop locusts from destroying your house and keeping your vineyards and from producing. What, you know, however you want to interpret that last part, you know, whatever it is for you, you keep your car running, whatever the case may be. God says, listen, when you are intentional about doing this, what happens is I begin to protect the rest. And I begin to make the rest last longer. I begin to take that 90% that's left and make you be able to do actually more with that 90% than you could with 100%. Now, here's what I will say. In this area, especially if you're a new Christian or you're new to understanding how to handle money God's way, this may be a very overwhelming thing. Like, there's no way possible that we can do that. So here's how I would challenge you. Here's how I would say, man, as someone that's done it for 20-some years, as someone that's talked to people, pick a percentage, pick a proportion that you go, you and your spouse can agree on. And start with that. And make it your goal that as you continue to handle your finances God's way, as you continue to alleviate debt, as you continue to increase what you're earning, as you continue to do all those things, the first thing you're going to do is to continue to increase to the point where you're where what God's threshold of proportional giving would be. You go, well, man, what if it comes down to providing for my family or being able to give? Well, see, God has called you to provide for your family, correct? I mean, can we say that that's probably pretty accurate in the Bible? Yeah. So then the reality is, one of two things is probably reality. Either you're not handling that 90% the way that God says, and therefore you need to look at that and you need to restructure, or maybe the job that you have isn't providing enough. You're like, but I love it. Well, yeah, but you're getting paid $3 an hour. Go work at Walmart. They pay $11. But here's the reality. To be able to give proportionally, especially to the point where God has said, man, this 10% is what I want you to do, you've got to handle the other 90% the way that he's called you to. And here's the blessing that comes with that. When you handle the 90% the way that God's called you to, it far exceeds what you can do with 100% all by yourself. Because when you begin to give that way, God says, I step into the equation, and you plus God is way more than you all by yourself. Now don't be like, well, okay, we'll just give 10% and, you know, God will figure the rest out. No. God has said, I want you to handle the 90% the way that I've called you to. So it may take you a while to get to that point, and that's okay. It really is. Proportional giving starts with a proportion. You pick it and begin to increase that. Now, don't go, I just got a raise. We're going to make X amount now. So you know what we need? We need better cars. We need nicer shoes. We need this. We need that. Remember, we're going to talk about spending wisely the last week and making sure that we're spending according to God's purpose, not our desires. So proportional giving. So give cheerfully. Woohoo! Give cheerfully. Yeah, I'm so excited about doing this. What amount can you give that you can be excited about? Give regularly. Go, okay, each and every time I get paid, I'm going to be giving back to God. Give proportionally. Okay, I'm going to give excitedly, and I'm going to give regularly a particular portion of whatever God has blessed me with. And here's the last one. God says, the way I measure giving, this last one, is to give generously. To give generously. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 9 and 10 say this. As the scriptures say, they share freely and give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. For God is the one who provides the seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. And in the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. So, we've got cheerful, woohoo, all right? We've got regular, dun, 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 right, every time. We've got proportional, what's the percentage that we're going to give? And then we've got generous. So here, those first three areas, God says, listen, I want you to give back specifically to the church, the ministry, whatever you call it. So that first tenth of your giving, whatever that is, that goes directly to the place where you worship, the place where you serve, whatever the case may be. This last part, God goes, I want to turn you loose. Maybe you've got a passion for kids in, you know, Zimbabwe, or you've got a passion for building homes for the homeless, or you've got a passion for helping people who don't have clean drinking water, or you've got a passion for orphans, or you've got a passion for whatever, because God's given us all different passions. And so God says, here's what's so exciting. When you begin to handle your money in a way that's responsible, in the way that I have called you to do it, and you're earning the way that you're supposed to, and you're giving the way that you're supposed to, and you get to that point, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to unleash you to actually be able to just give it wherever you want to give it. And you can give it here, you can give it there. It says, listen, you can give to the needy, you can give to the poor, you can do it this way, you can put it over here. And it's so exciting. And what's amazing is that as you keep doing it, that old expression, you can't outgive God, becomes reality. And you're like, man, this is so exciting. I'm giving this, and God has blessed me with this, and so I can do this more, and I can do this over here, and I can put it over here. This is so exciting to see a change in people's lives. You know, you hear somebody has a need. You know, their car fell apart, whatever the case may be. And you're like, man, I want to give you this so that you can, it'll help you go out and get another car. You're like, what? Like, yeah, I want to do that. There's nothing more exciting than being able to be a generous person in every area of your life. And God says, that's the blessing that I'm going to give you. And then he wraps it up this way. He says, listen, I will not only give it to you, I will provide it for you. I will provide for you the ability so that you can be generous. Now, it may not be in finances. It may be in your time, your ability, your effort, your talents, whatever the case may be. He says, I'm going to provide this for you so that you can be generous. And then he says, I'm going to increase your ability. I'm going to give you more so that you can even be more generous than you could be in the first place. And then finally, I'm going to produce in you this bubbling, excited generosity that you're like, ah, this is so exciting. Now, I know in our world, we tend to focus on amounts. And you hear what people like Bill Gates give away every year, and you're like, oh my goodness. Like, he gave away, you know, $1.2 billion last year. Yeah, he did, and he made $1 trillion. Right? We focus on the amount. That's not what God focuses on. God says, listen, are you giving out of a cheerful heart? Are you doing it in a way that you're like, man, I love being able to do this. This is so cool. Are you then, once you get to that point, going, okay, I want to give each and every time that God blesses us, I want to give back to God regularly. And then are you moving to the point where you're going, okay, we've kind of gotten this cheerful and this regular down. We want to get to the proportional side. You know, let's talk about that. How can we do that? And then finally, once you've kind of gotten to that point where you're giving in that tithe and that 10% back to God, then God goes, man, I want to turn you loose. I want to make you a generous person. Have you ever met, bumped into, or had a friendship with someone that was truly a generous person? I mean, they were just like, what do you need, man? I got it for you. Let me show up. I'm going to do that. Now, I want you to think about what their lives were like. I want you to think about the joy that they had in their heart every single time you saw them being generous. You see, I started this whole thing talking about the fact that God doesn't want something from you. He wants something for you. God wants you to be able to live in that generous spirit all the time. To be able to go, man, I can't believe I get to do this. This is so exciting. This is so enjoyable. This is so awesome. And here's the thing. That's just one of the multitude of areas that God wants to bless you in. He says, if you can do that, I will provide and I will increase and I will bless you in ways that you can't even begin to imagine. So my challenge to you is wherever you are, maybe you're like, I've never given at all, ever. My challenge to you is start giving cheerfully, whatever that is. You're like, maybe it's $5. Do it cheerfully. You're like, okay, one less quarter pounder meal. One less chai latte soy milk with extra syrup. Whatever the case may be, give it joyfully. Then regularly. Then proportionally. And then get ready to experience what it's like to be a generous giver. Because God wants to unleash that in you. Father God, we are so thankful that you have shown us what it means to be a generous person. God, the verse that probably all of us know in John 3:16 is that you loved us so much that you gave. What you gave wasn't financial, and quite frankly, we're thankful for that. What you gave was your son, Jesus Christ, giving us the opportunity and the possibility to be able to respond to your call, to accept your son, and to be unleashed from the sin and the shame, the regret of our past, to be able to pursue you with a reckless abandon. And God, we pray that in this area of money, this resource that you have blessed us with, God, I pray that we would recognize that if we are not careful and that if we do not handle it the way that you've called us to, we can so easily waste it and miss out on the blessing. God, I pray for every person here that they would experience your richest blessing in every area of life, but specifically in this area as we talk about finances, God. I pray that they would focus on measuring their giving like you measure it, not like we do. God, we see certain things and we think, oh, wow, but in reality, you're not impressed at all. But maybe you're impressed about the person here this morning who just simply for years and years has just kind of given faithfully, day, week, month, given back to you. And God, that's the person that you're celebrating, you're cheering, you're jumping up and down and giving angels high five in heaven because they're like, look at this. God, help us all to learn to be that type of person that makes your heart jump for joy. We thank you for this and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.